Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello, and welcome to and welcome back to Spark Radio. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, and as always, I thank you for choosing to invest the valuable minutes of your life to spend with me to explore those strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge, those sparks that may ignite your life to be closer or more of what you truly desire. So tonight, we're going to explore sparks of hope, sparks to overcome fear, because in conversation, that's been a popular topic of late in the United States with the economic issues and the unemployment and all sorts of negatives, and it's challenging. I mean, you know, it's hard to have that positive perspective, hard to have the hope. So how do we do that? First, I'll ask you, have you taken action? If you listened on a regular basis, if you listened last week, did you find one thing to act on? And if you did, good for you. Congratulations. And once you begin to notice the positive benefits from making that change, and it becomes easy and closer to automatic to do those things, then it's time to look at adding something else or releasing something that isn't serving you, isn't helping you any further get closer to what it is you truly desire. Had a wonderful session today called Choose Your Stress, and wanted to share some ideas with you, my wonderful listeners, from that session. And I want to start with breathing, because we often forget how powerful, how important breathing really is to our system. So, if you are ready to play, put your hands on your belly button and take a slow, deep breath in. If you're truly breathing deeply, you should notice your hands move outward as your diaphragm drops and moves outward. Most of us, when we breathe just in the top parts of our lungs, maybe the upper third to two-thirds. The lower third of our lungs rarely gets that opportunity. So take the deep breath. It takes a little more time, and often when we race from thing, item to item, demand, we are breathing very shallowly, and our shoulders are rising and falling. So take another slow, deep inhale, and are you inhaling through your nose? And how is that feeling? And exhale. Take another one. Hold it for the count of three. Breathe in slowly. And hold it. And exhale. Have you noticed a shift in how you're feeling? And sometimes people will add a visualization to that breathing. So that is, they're inhaling positive energy, they're exhaling stress and negative energy. That works as well. You can combine many strategies. Find out what works well for you and your system. Go for it. So how often should you breathe deeply? Well, more often than we do. I challenge people to put reminders on their computers so that they'll pop up a few times an hour. Some people stick a post-it note, set an alarm on their BlackBerry or watch, so that at least three or four times a day you stop and take three or four slow, deep breaths. just takes a minute or two and notice the difference, because as you are taking those slow, deep breaths, again, you're increasing the oxygen in, you're releasing carbon dioxide, other toxins, and if you add the visual imagery of releasing muscle tension, you can accelerate the benefits that you feel. So, hopefully you're feeling more relaxed than when you tuned in, just from breathing and taking those slow, deep breaths. Because you really can make a difference in your perspective when you can shift from a tense, negative, stressful state to a relaxed, positive, calm state. We're able to think more clearly when we're relaxed, when we can slow down, than when we're rushing and racing and replaying negatives. Had a fun new mantra today around being hopeful. And it's based on the book called Why Zebras Don't Have Ulcers, which is a great book about stress. And I shared this story about zebras with an image of zebras, that zebras will be calmly out eating the grass, enjoying the day, until there's a predator, there's a threat, there's a hyena, for example, bounding towards the herd. When that threat is perceived by the zebra's brain, the fight or flight response kicks in. And we have that fight or flight response, that same biological survival system that kicks up the adrenaline to increase our breathing and our heart rate and the release of glucose to the muscles and all sorts of things like that. And the zebra flees from the threat. And if the zebra gets away, body releases corticosteroids, cortisol, to slow things back down. Slow the breathing, slow the heart rate, slow the digestion. And the zebra calmly returns to eating grass in the sun. Now, why is it that zebras don't have ulcers? People do. People will have that threat in the moment, and then they'll think about the threat that they had. And every time there's a similar situation, they relive that emotional experience, the feeling. So they can have that same experience multiple times, hundreds of times, in their mind. And the same is true about the future. What if around that corner there's another threat? And the perception, perceived threat or stress, will cause the same kind of reaction in our bodies. And so it's important to realize that the reason that zebras don't have ulcers is because they live in the moment. They live right now, right here. People, on the other hand, have a tendency to go to the past and relive events, project them into the future, and be worried about them. And so we have the stress reaction to perceived stress and threat to the past and the future. So today we discussed be the zebra. Be the zebra. It doesn't mean to ignore the events in the world. The events in the world are what they are. If in this moment, the best action you can take is to be the zebra, to enjoy the moment. Take the action when it's appropriate to take the action. Feel the emotion when it's appropriate to choose that stress response for survival value. And other times, be the zebra. Enjoy the experience. That is one way to help balance the emotional stressors and maintain our physical health so that we're not operating in overdrive. So to be able to put yourself in that calm, relaxed state, to be in the moment, to enjoy what we have, to enjoy our lives. If you look at kids, kids live in the moment, especially younger kids. And if there's something bad that happens, it's bad for a very short time, and they're done and they move on. And only for the time that, you know, you have parents who keep asking, are you okay, are you okay? And then the kid's like, I'm fine, I'm fine. Do we have that opportunity to realize, you know what, they're over it, they've moved on. We haven't. And so think about being the zebra, think about being in the moment. And someone suggested I make pins or stickers with that, an image that says, be the zebra. It causes people to smile, to laugh, and to change that perspective, to choose to be hopeful. So what do you do when you have all the negatives and you want to choose to be hopeful? You got to find some way to help shift your perspective, to focus on the hopeful possibilities instead of the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, as the story goes about Alexander, which I really wanted to keep away from my son Alex for as long as possible. Because, you know, catastrophizing doesn't help, and it just complicates the situation when you look at everything as a crisis. And instead of, I think we need some WD-40 on that door. When we look at things as a crisis, it exacerbates or accelerates the negative and puts us in a state that is less effective. We don't solve problems well. We don't think clearly. And then we have that self-fulfilling prophecy. Oh my gosh, this terrible, horrible thing's going to happen, and pretty soon the reticular activating system in the brain finds a terrible, horrible thing to happen. So choose what you want to think about. Choose to feel hopeful. Choose. And it can be a conscious choice. That's the exciting part. Once you understand that you can make a conscious choice. You can choose how you want to respond instead of react. Now, yeah, we have some systems that go on. We just talked about the adrenaline, the cortisol when we're stressed that cause our system to operate differently, our bodies operate differently, our brains operate differently, and that will happen. And we have often an initial emotional reaction to something. So then, because we're human, we can intervene in that thought process and say, is this useful? Is this helping me? The answer is yes, continue down that path. The answer is no, I'd like to choose something else. And if you're having some trouble figuring out what you might want to choose, get a buddy. Get a zebra buddy who can help you focus on the moment, who can help you see the forest for the trees. Where else can you go for hope? Look at people who've been where you are and look at where they have come. Because for most of us, change is the only constant. And so if we realize that this too will pass, something new is around the corner, tomorrow is another day, those are all true. We can expect the best and prepare for the best. You know, when you prepare for the worst, you're really putting mixed messages out there. That, you know, what is it you're looking for? What is your reticular activating system supposed to focus on? The best or the worst? It's confused. So you can be realistic and deal with situations as they arise as best you can and be open to the solutions, the possible solutions that you can act upon that will get you further along the road in the short term. You know, and how often do we make a mistake and mentally, verbally attack ourselves for that mistake? Is that helping? Or are we more likely to repeat the mistake? You know, it's hard to do better when you feel badly, and most of us don't. So the idea is, what have we learned? How do we move forward? Where's the hope? The hope is that because I'm human and because I'm smart, I learn. And so next time, I'll make a different choice. And if I don't make a different choice next time, what did I learn from that? Maybe there was a priority shift. You know, there are all sorts of reasons that we make the choices we do. And as my regular listeners know, one of the most powerful statements to help you realize that you have control is to repeat after me, I am the CEO of my life. Because, ladies and gentlemen, stress, according to Dr. David Diamond, happens when we have a physical and emotional response to a perceived situation where we have no control. We perceive that we have no control. So you might be able to do something different, but if you think your perception is, you're choosing to look at it that, I have no choice, I have no control, then you're going to feel stress. Even children want to have a choice. That's why often when you tell them they can't do something, why? And you start getting all this negative reaction and pushback. Because they're trying to exert their control, their ability to choose. And we know that with Alex. So we try to give him two choices that we like. And that worked when he was younger. At 7 and a half, he usually introduces a third choice or a fourth choice. So we have to negotiate our way through those. And sometimes his options are very good and very insightful. And sometimes they just plain don't work. So, we have to work with that. Well, we get to work with that. And the trade-off is it takes a little longer sometimes because he thinks and challenges and questions. That's his nature, and we want him to realize in some cases no is no, and in some cases no is that option doesn't work. If you come back with a better one, I can reconsider. How often do you do that with yourself? How often do you tell yourself no when really that particular option, that particular situation is a no? Or maybe it's no and. A lot of times we'll say yes, but, or no, but. What about no and? Or yes, and. Yes, I want to count my blessings. Yes, I am grateful to be alive in a time where we've got so many opportunities that are coming from the adversity that people are facing. Plants need to have some adversity in order to get strong. So if you have wind and you have rain that's gradual, might be a little challenging. When you have a heavy storm, plants are able to withstand it because they've strengthened themselves in the face of lesser adversities. So challenge is a good thing. And it's not always comfortable when you're going through it. And most of us will say that. You know what? It was very uncomfortable in that process. I wasn't sure for a little bit, and I had to really concentrate on what perspective I wanted to choose. Sometimes we don't see the positive till we're through it, through the experience, and then we can look back and find it. So you get your zebra buddy to help you stay in the moment and discover what lessons you might be able to find. So, as I had a cough, from the sinus drainage reminds me of another sign of hope I wanted to share tonight here in the Midwest United States. It is spring. Well, okay, we might have snow again tonight. However, it really is spring. The calendar says it's spring. We've been through the vernal equinox. Alex wanted to wake up Mom, make Dad, make sure that I get up before spring starts. And luckily, it was a reasonable time between 6:30 and 7 a.m. So that worked. We forget how such what we consider ordinary events can be so inspiring and so hopeful. What does spring bring? Like everything in life, there are seasons, and spring means, yes, time to go out and sweep all the sand off the sidewalks and the sides of the roads that they put out during the winter to help with the ice and the snow. It's time to begin to watch for the spring flowers, the new life that begins to bloom, the buds on the trees. It's a season of hope. Every season could be a season of hope, a season for the cycle continues. And most of us have a favorite season or two for a variety of reasons. Here where I live in Iowa, in the United States, we have four seasons, although sometimes we wonder about spring and fall, that they get shorter, it seems. But we do have all four, and we have those transitional opportunities. Sometimes we forget to give ourselves transitional opportunities. We want things to go immediately from A to B, from this to that, from now to then, from here to there. And we don't give ourselves time to slow down, take a deep breath, and breathe through the process. To to realize it is a transition, that there are things that we're going to be excited about. There are going to be pieces that are challenging. It's all a learning process. Can you move through that learning process? Because on the other end of it, there's hope that you'll become better, more skilled, have more fun, be in a better place than you are now. And is that what you focus on? Is that what you think about? Where do your thoughts go? Are your thoughts around the opportunity you have with your family to model, to teach, you know, to realize what is it you want your children to grow up and learn about hope, about facing challenges? You know, there's some who say call a problem a problem. That's, to me, a little more challenging and a lot harder to be hopeful about. I talk about opportunities. That language works for me. Because I can hope for that inspired, creative solution to get me further than I've been before. What do you do? How do you keep your hope? Do you read about positive, inspiring news, inspiring stories? Or is your focus on what the media is throwing out about all the problems and the people who made the mistakes and the people who had the issues? And again, for those who don't focus on karma, and I was listening to I Believe, and I've switched some of the lyrics around because I like to focus on the positive. That's me. And I see greater benefit from that. So the idea of I Believe in karma, what you give is what you get returned in some way, shape, or form. If you're sending out good things, you're being generous, you're volunteering, you're being helpful, you're being positive, it comes back. If you're helping those in need, when you're in need, someone will help you. You may have to ask. You may have to let somebody know that you're in need because they may not know. So can you be hopeful about the future? Can you be hopeful about the next 2 minutes? Can you choose a lens of joy, of peace, of love, of hope? What are you putting in? What are you feeding your brain? What are you watching? Are you watching violence or are you watching inspirational stories? Are you laughing? Humor is powerful. It changes your physical state. It changes your mental state. Change your brain chemistry. Have some laughs during the day. Laugh with your kids. Whether it's tickle time, whether it's funny something. For example, from the movie Madagascar, in Madagascar 2, come penguins. There are 4 penguins. Kowalski, Private, Nick, and the captain. They have their own series now, and so it's been on 7 o'clock the last couple mornings, so my family's been laughing as we've been getting ready for school and work in the morning at these penguins and the adventures that they have, and it's a positive way to start the day. And then we talked about the different educational moments. And you know what? Laughing together is great. Supporting each other, using positive language with each other is hopeful. Being honest with each other, you know, about financial situations, about, you know, someone's not working, and if, as a parent, we get frustrated when we're unable temporarily to give our kids what we may want to give them or do for them, and what can we teach about choices, about focusing on this now for that later. So there's hope. Let's talk for a little bit about fear and how that plays with the idea of hope. I've heard a couple different acronyms. False expectations appearing real is the one that I remember. And again, we create things in our minds. We play out scenarios. Excuse me, with negative results. You need to do some more deep breathing. Hey. Why don't you do that? Take a slow, deep breath. Let it out. Wow. Depending on what time of day it is, can you see outside from where you are? Do you see sunshine, clouds, sunrise, sunset? See, we had sunshine today. I'm seeing some pinks and reds in the sunset here. How often do we get so busy we don't even see what's in front of us? We see and feel the illusion, the false expectation, and we feel that reaction, and we practice that reaction. And so why would it surprise you to get what you've been practicing? Instead, practice how you want the situation to resolve, how you want the conversation to go, how you fully expect cooperation, and you play that conversation out in your mind. And that's what you're prepared for. And it's amazing how many times that begins to happen for you. Just a thought. And I was listening to Positive Imaging by Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. It was recorded in 1987 on an audio cassette. And I've had it for years in my library, and it was, you know, back behind, I think, in the move that we had 10 years ago. I just rediscovered it. Had never been opened. I got it before we moved. And so as I was listening to it, and he's talking about the power of positive imaging and how he learned it and the different stories in his life. So I encourage you to get, if you can get the book still, Positive Imaging. But he was talking about how, oh, I lost my train of thought, as I was thinking about the wonderful synchronicity and timing of finding it. And oh, that when you feel fear, to do the thing that you fear. You know, and you can think ahead of time, the worst that could happen is this. And the, you know what? There are some great things that could happen if I take this chance to do this thing I fear. And he quoted Emerson, who said, when you do that which you fear, the death of fear is certain. And so beginning to ask those questions, put in those resumes, talking to people, you know, using networking if you're looking for a job, thinking outside the normal skill set combinations, talking to other people about what they see as your strengths. Getting the book Now, Discover Your Strengths. We're working on that in a book study. And I'll be taking that later tonight. The assessment, the strengths finder, and we'll be talking about that in our team tomorrow. So what are your strengths, do you know? And then what are your talents? And what do you enjoy? Are they the same thing? Interesting question. In Dr. Robert Schuller with the Crystal Cathedral Ministry, he says, if you were guaranteed to succeed, what would you do? And I think he languages that if you knew you would not fail, what would you attempt? And is it the same as what you're doing now? Or are you making decisions from fear and trepidation? Think about it. Be the zebra. Be in the moment. Is this realistic? Is it helping? And if not, have a conversation with a friend. Play out the interview conversation or the asking the boss for the raise that you think you deserve, especially if others in the company are getting raises. And yes, there are companies that are doing well right now. We don't hear about them as much, now do we? We hear about the others that are laying people off. And some people are starting their own businesses because they have skills and talents that meet the needs that people have, and they can offer them at affordable prices, and there we go. And there are great resources for starting your own business, Small Business Administration, your local chapter of retired folks who offer support and their wisdom to people who are starting in business. I'm drawing a blank. But you can Google that or do a search on, you know, retired SCORE, S-C-O-R-E. Is the name of that group, and most cities have a SCORE organization that you can contact. There are business coaches, executive coaches, who can help you get started, mastermind groups. There are lots of resources out there if you just start focusing on that, focusing on opportunities, and then taking an action. Just one. Just take one. One action that moves you closer. one action that moves you through a fear. Because when we delay things and we focus on what might go wrong, we put off taking action. And usually it's worse by delaying than if we just do the thing that we fear and move through it and move to whatever's next. And with tax time in the United States approaching on April 15th, a number of people have not filed their taxes yet, partly because of fear. They don't want to know if they have to pay in, partly because it's not a pleasant process for folks. You know, some people it's like, good, I want to get it done because if I'm going to get money back, I want it now. Other people, and they can file short forms, and other people enjoy, you know, being early with things. So there are a lot of rationales and reasons and explanations for when people file and how they file and why they file the way they do. Although you'd probably find among the people filing later, there's the fear of making the mistake, the fear, do I have all the data together? Move through the fear. Move beyond it. What's on the other side of it? You know, and whatever happens, you learn from it. You have a support group, develop a support group. Whether it's family members who are positive and supportive, or is it a group of friends, you can create a network. Social networks are awesome. Whether you're using Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn, find a group of like-minded people. If you're positive and moving forward, if you're nervous and don't know how to move through the fear, you want to find a group of people who are positive, who can help you shift your focus. Because if you connect with people who are also negative, it's going to be real tough to move out of that negative state into a place of hope and possibility and through the fear. There's a story Jack Canfield had told in, I think it's his self-esteem, How to Have High Self-Esteem audio series came out through Nightingale Conant probably in the 80s. And it's a story of a woman who was trying to raise money for cause, and she just didn't know what to do, where to go, where to turn. So Jack had talked with her about, or she'd read in his book, The Aladdin Factor, one or the other, to just do it. And so she walked into the bank, and she heard in his voice, and here's the language, Jack says, oh, what the heck, go for it anyway. And that was playing in her mind. Oh, what the heck, go for it anyway. And she asked. And, you know, I don't remember whether she got everything she asked for or part of what she asked for, but she got something. And sometimes when we ask, we might not get the answer we expect from that person, but that person may be able to connect us to someone else. It's important to ask. Let people know. Ask for what you need. Let people help. You know, we often hear stories where people say, I didn't know there was anything wrong. I would have been there had I known. Give people a chance to support you on your life journey, to offer you from their toolbox what might support you. So hope, be hopeful, focus on the wonderful possibilities that are there, that are happening, the opportunities that are there, in the situations that are happening. Or we can focus on the fear, the stress, the problems. That's where you are that CEO of your life, and you have a choice of the perspective that you want to use to look at those situations. And if you are in a situation where you're not working right now, you've lost a job, what can you do in the meantime? Hopefully you're getting unemployment. Some of you either have exhausted unemployment, maybe hadn't had a job long enough to collect unemployment when you were let go. What can you do to get a step closer? Use services that are available to you. Use food banks. Use churches. That's what they're there for. And then give something back. You've got time. If you've got time that you can donate a skill to support a group that can help you, try it and see how it feels. because you are giving something in that process. So we've got 10 minutes remaining. I don't see anyone in the chat room tonight. If you are listening and want to give a call and talk about hope or fear, the number is 347-215-8390. And as always, I want to thank you for listening regularly to Spark. I do have some guests I've been talking to about needing to do our interviews on some time other than our regular Wednesday night time slot. And so I will be sure to put that out there in advance so that you can see when we are doing something live at a different time, because that might work better for you. For my loyal listeners who are conflicted with their schedule, with family commitments or work commitments and unable to join us live, I thank you for joining us regularly in the archives. And I thank you for the opportunity to share these sparks with you. And I invite you to share Spark with others, with your friends, with your family. Check it out. Check out the resources that are available in the different segments that we have in our archives. And you too, if you're new to Spark and you haven't taken a look at what's available in the last year and a half on topics that may be helpful for you, I invite you to do that and discover some other resources and books and websites. Speaking of websites, do you have anything that gets you in a hopeful, positive state of mind? GreatDay.com. And they have, Ralph has some presentations, multimedia pieces, about 3 minutes long, with beautiful photography, inspiring words and music that can help you shift to a state of hope and possibility. What about reading that good news? Which has caused me to think I haven't been out there in a while to check out the good news website. And think about your conversation. Are you spreading positive stories in your days? Inspiring stories in your days? Sharing good news through your days? When you start your day, do you start with a positive intention, what you want to accomplish today? And what about during the day? Do you have moments where you stop and have gratitude and joy for the experiences that are happening to you? At the end of the day, do you take a look at what went well, what you accomplished or achieved, and what are you grateful for at the end of the day? Because too often, and it contributes to our stress and to our challenges to be positive, we focus on what went wrong. We leave work, or we are looking for work, or we are struggling with our family members, and we just focus on all the negative grief and things that went wrong. There's a story told of a man who, when he was walking home from work at night, any problems or things that he needed to deal with that went wrong, he would hang on a tree outside his house. And he would go in, he would be the best dad with his family and the best husband for his wife, and truly be the zebra, be in the moment. And then the next morning on his way to work, he'd stop at the tree and he would mentally take back any problems or things he had to deal with on his way to work. That metaphor was very effective for him to be able to separate, to be in the moment with his family. Create your own metaphor. Use that if it works for you. But remember, you can choose to be hopeful, to have a faith in better things to come, faith in the human spirit, faith in something bigger. And I recently heard faith described as full assurance in the heart. You just know. And when you just know, it's amazing how your reticular activating system, God, the universe, the quantum field, whatever you want to call it, you'll start seeing what you believe, what you expect to see. You'll meet people. Events will happen. Keep your attention and your emotion there. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale in Positive Energy, Wallace Wattles in The Science of Getting Rich. It's all over. And if you really are open to seeing all the different resources around your thoughts and emotions becoming things, that we get what we focus on. We become what we think about, said Earl Nightingale. And so what are you thinking about? Where are you putting your energy and your attention and your focus? Joe Vitale wrote The Attractor Factor. You know, part of that is figure out what you don't want, think it clear about what you do want, then act as if. Have that feeling and emotion around, you know, it is. See yourself driving that new car, working in that ideal job. What does that feel like? What are you doing? Isn't it awesome? And then and visualize, truly experience it, and then act as if. If you had that job, what are things you would be doing? How would you think about yourself? How would you feel? If you want to be that person who's confident and communicates easily with others, act as if. Take one step. A successful blank would blank. So today I am blanking, whatever that might be. So hopefully in our time together this evening, there has been a spark of a strategy that can help you shift from a state of fear to a state of hope and possibility. So that you can shift from a state of stress to a state of calm. You can be the zebra, find the joy in the moment. Can you inhale blessings and exhale gratitude? Sometimes it's hard to see some blessings, and you have to go to the very basic. The blessing is I'm breathing today. The blessing is I have food to eat. The blessing is I'm with people I love. The blessing is I'm with people who are concerned and care about me, because that might be in a shelter. I mean, to really be thankful for whatever you can see as a blessing, as a gift, and be grateful for that. It's a very high energy, very positive feeling. And what can you do? What action can you take to move closer to what it is that you want? Thank you so much for coming back and for sharing the news about Spark. Hope tonight you found some strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, or knowledge that have inspired you to create the life you desire and deserve. You might want to check out quotegarden.com. It's one of my favorite quote sources. That's Quote. GARDEN.com to find all sorts of inspiring and interesting quotes. You can Google positive quotes, motivational quotes to find out those different thoughts that you could focus on. I have a variety of them. I do collect them because in those moments when I want to shift my thinking, I'll just flip through a few that I have in our last remaining minute. Observe yourself and others in this nutty world and then decide whether to carry around anger or to develop a sense of humor that will give you and others one of the most priceless gifts of all, laughter. So good for your health, laughter. Gandhi said, learn as if you would live forever. Live as if you would die tomorrow. Live your best life, in other words. Are you doing that? And it does help to write so that we can look back at the list of what we're grateful for, at the list of all the things that we've done and how we've made a difference in someone's life. Now, with John DeMartini, whatever we think about and think about, we bring about. And Gordon B. Hinckley says, go forward in life with a twinkle in your eye and a smile on your face, but with great and strong purpose in your heart. Love life and look for its opportunities. And in our final seconds, the last I'd like to leave you with is what you leave behind is not what is engraved in stone monuments, but is woven into the lives of others, said Pericles. Think about what you're weaving. into the lives of people around you. Because you can only be the best you that you can be. There is no other you like you on the planet with the purpose that you have. May you discover and live that purpose. I look forward to seeing you next time. Be safe.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.